Well, good afternoon, and thankful for the time around God's Word again. And let's read out of the book of Exodus for our Old Testament reading. Let's read out of Exodus chapter 25. The last part of Exodus 25 is talking about the building the tabernacle. And let's read a portion of what God has to say about that in verse 1, chapter 25. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, and he said that often. If you skim through Exodus, that's a repeated phrase. Verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them: gold, silver, brass, and blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine linen, and goat's hair, and ram's skins dyed red, and badger's skins, and of shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, and for sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary. And just skim across the pages just of your Bible. Just skim. Maybe turn a page and skim again. And turn a page and skim again. It's all about building the tabernacle. It's all about God's design in the tabernacle. And God wanted us to build this sanctuary, this tabernacle. And I stopped on purpose. Look at verse 8. It's a very important verse. I think this is the key. And let them make me a sanctuary. And what was God's purpose? That I may dwell among them. I mean, that's God's whole purpose. I want to live among this people. And that's awesome. Let's don't put your Bibles away. Skip to 22. And I'm not going to read anymore. I'm going to read 22 and then we'll stop. But again, out of the book of Exodus emerges a theme. It's not the theme of building a tabernacle. It's not the theme of the furniture. It's not the theme of the gold and the silver and the brass and everything. Look at verse 22. This is God's heart. And there, you know, after you get this all built, and it's going to be a beautiful structure, and there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat and between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of testimony, and all the things which I give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. Anyway, I mean, so just think about that. Just think about God's purpose, even really in building this tabernacle. Well, let's sing a hymn together. Let's sing hymn 346. There's power in the blood in the hymns of Zion. 346. Because we didn't talk about the blood, but there is power in the blood. 346. Let's kneel and pray together. Father, thanks for just an afternoon that we can come and worship and bow down. We can kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. And Father, we see that even from the history of in the Old Testament, Father, it was Thy desire to meet with Thy people and dwell among them. Father, that Thou wert a God that was, I don't know if lonely is the right word, but a God that really desired fellowship with Thy people. And Father, that part of that was developed around the sanctuary and the tabernacle of old. And Father, we think about that, and Lord, we think about Thy desire to meet and to commune. And Father, it's not really much different even right now, this afternoon. Father, it's Thy desire that Thou wouldst commune with us, that we'd commune with Thee corporately. And we think of even what David said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." So, Father, we do sense Thy presence, Father, and we desire that on a daily basis, on a regular basis, and yet we are thankful for this time today. It doesn't have to be in this building, doesn't have to be in this city, in this state, and yet, Lord, we know that Thou dost desire a fellowship with us. And Lord, we think of even Thy instruction to the church in Revelation, where Thou dost says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into them and will fellowship with them and they with me." And Father, we desire that even this afternoon corporately together. And we are also reminded what Jesus said, that it's not in this mountain or the other mountain that worship is important, but they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. So Father, even in prayer, we acknowledge that Thou dost desire fellowship, Thou dost desire communion and a relationship, even more than sacrifice. But Lord, we pause and are thankful for the blood of Jesus. And it was not the blood of goats that caused us that the veil be torn apart. And Lord, that we can enter into the Holy of Holies now ourselves, individually. And that's a blessing, Lord. But there is that power and that victory in the blood. And we thank Thee for that. And Lord, that Thou dost desire even to fellowship with us, even now. And Lord, we do it. We are in community as we do that act of worship this afternoon. So we're thankful, Lord, but we want to come clean. And we're thankful for the blood of Jesus and even what Brother Joe shared, that we can be clean through the blood of Jesus. We can come to Thee, Lord, and we desire to come clean. And Father, please forgive us for the things that maybe we haven't put off. You know, the covetousness and the idolatry and the worry and the fear and the lust. Father, we know if we bring our gift to the altar and there remember that You've got something against us, Lord, or maybe our spouse or maybe our family, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled, then come and worship. So Father, before we even think about worshiping, we need to think about coming clean. And we think even that's what David said in Psalm 51, to create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. And Lord, then just after that, David says that, Lord, what You desire is a clean heart and a clean slate. So Father, purify us. and help, then let us come and worship and bow down. So, Lord, we're thankful for each that are here today. Smaller group, maybe, than normal, and that's okay. Be with those in Sunday school. Bless them as they hear the word, and bless us as we hear the word, and as we pray, and as we sing. And, Lord, may we be changed in thy presence. And we're thankful for, again, all that are here. We're thankful for brothers and sisters. We're thankful for our family. We're thankful for this time together. We want this time to be an honor to thee and a glory to thee. Because, Lord, thou art the Lord. That's thy name, and thy glory will thou not give to another, neither thy praise to graven images. So we come humbly before thee, Lord, and yet thankfully before thee. And we just pray that thou wilt speak to us through thy word, that thou wilt give us eyes to see, open our understanding, that we may behold wondrous things from thy law. And we love thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's read out of Luke chapter 24. Let's start after my favorite verse. How can I pass up my favorite verse? My favorite verse is 44 in there. 24:44. Maybe. One of my favorites. But let's skip 44 and go to 45 and let's read to the end. I mean, there's so many messages out of Luke 24. But let's read it together. 45. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And of course, this was speaking to the disciples. And said unto them, 46, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer. We understand that from the Old Testament. And to rise from the dead the third day. We understand that from the Old Testament, fulfilled in the New Testament. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things, as are we. And behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Isn't that a wonderful ending to the story of Christ's life here on earth? And what Christ desired, what we see here, is that same type of fellowship. Now he had it with the disciples, and now he departed, went to heaven. And what comes to your mind? He's departing, and what are you thinking about? It's in John. What do you think? What am I thinking about? Let's put it that way. What do you think I'm thinking about? Not what are you thinking about. What am I thinking about? It's in John. If Jesus just left, what would you be thinking about? Maybe. Or what would I be thinking about? Jesus just left. We just saw him go to glory. And we're worshiping him, and we have great joy. I'm thinking of something he told us back a little earlier. You thinking about that? Something he told us before he left. What did he tell us before he left? Just think about that. Back in John, what did he say? He said something that's really pretty important. He says, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive into myself. That where I am, there you're going to be also. What was John Jesus' heart? He's leaving. But I tell you, he was anticipating getting back together. And that fellowship that was going to happen. And it really leads to worship. And they just worshiped with great joy. I mean, what excitement they had. And if we think about that, the same for us. You know, Jesus is going to come and take us home soon. We got two things to do in the meantime. Just two things. It's pretty simple. From this passage, what is it? What are the two things we want to do? We just read about it. Think. Come on, think. It's not my job to talk. I guess it is, but it's your job to think. Okay? What two things did Jesus tell us to do? If you don't know, look at your Bible. If you know, look at me. Sorry, I shouldn't say that. It's right in the text. Some of you are looking at me. You know. Verse 47, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You're witnesses of these things. That's one thing. And that was what Wednesday night was about. What'd they call it? The core number one, the core principle of our church is the gospel. The gospel's core. And that's what Jesus said. I mean, we can talk about that in many ways. What's the other? The other is worshiping him. You know, worshiping Jesus. Is Jesus among us? No. Does Jesus desire for us to worship him? Yes. Do we see it in the Old Testament? Yes. Let's go back to the Old Testament. Let's go back to that passage and review just quickly. Let's go through Exodus. I contend with you that the theme of Exodus, I would think, is the building of the temple. No, or the building of the tabernacle. No, it's not. The theme of Exodus is the purpose of building the tabernacle. We read it. Now go to 29:38. Exodus 29:38. Let's look. I want to show you a few verses in Exodus. And I want you to be thinking about this. 29, Exodus 29. And let's start at verse 38. Okay. And it says, and one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and another lamb shalt thou offer at evening. And then it talks about the lamb, and it talks about that. Look at verse 42. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. Now look at what Exodus says, verse 42. Where I will meet you and speak there unto you. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory, and I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation of the altar. I will sanctify both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office. And I will dwell. Look at that. What's the theme of Exodus? I will dwell among the children of Israel, and I will be their God, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God, that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. What is significant about that? I think what's significant about that, and we're just, you know, we're kind of going over the top of the surface here, but I think it's very profound. Part of it is you offer in the morning, you come in the morning, you offer a sacrifice. You come in the evening, you offer a sacrifice. That is continual. That kind of that offering, that sacrifice, that worship is continual. How does that apply today? I talked to a brother Wednesday night. I asked this brother, I said, "Brother, what do you think about when you think of worship?" He gave me one word. D-A-I-L-Y. Worship is daily. Does that seem like it's daily here? Sure. There's a pattern. We see a pattern. This is a picture of things to come. Isn't that a neat pattern? And what was the heart of God? I want to be with you. And this is the way I'm going to do it. Now, it changes a little bit in the New Testament, but as we see it in the Old Testament, we see the importance. God says, I want to be with you. I want to fellowship with you. I want to commune with you. I want to meet with you. I want to speak with you. You know what it makes me think of? It makes me think of the ushers coming in right now. See them? Here they come. Setting up a table right here. Putting a table right there. A table. A round table with a glass top. And they're bringing in two chairs. Here they come. Nice. Got it? Two chairs right there. And you know what we want around that table? I'm going to sit in one chair. I'm going to invite one of you to come sit in the other chair. And we're going to fellowship. I think I'm going to pick my wife just because. Okay? I'm going to pick my wife. She's going to sit right there. I'm going to sit right there. You know, we're the next usher, you know what they're going to bring in? Hot tea. Because it's cool in this room. Now, if it was 78 in this room, it'd be cold tea. But it's hot tea. 72. It's 72. Beautiful. I love it. Yeah, don't wear sleeveless anymore, girls. Sorry. Even in the summer. Yeah, get your sweaters on. But anyway, we're going to come down here, and I'll take a half and half frosty. And we're gonna sit, and we're going to talk. Half vanilla, half chocolate. And we're going to sit, and we're going to talk. We're going to talk about the day. We're going to talk about the weekend. We're going to talk about the grandkids. We're going to talk about the in-laws. No. I mean, you do that, don't you? I mean, you do that. Come on. We're going to talk about Daniel and Kaylin and their baby. You know, we're talking about Ken and Lynn, the new elder. And we're just going to talk. We're going to fellowship. And we're going to have a time of meeting. We're going to look at each other in the eyes. And we're going to have a time of fellowship. And you know what? God wants that. How do we make it happen today? It's a little bit of a challenge, face it. But you know, God wants to meet with us. And I'm suggesting to you that it needs to be daily. I mean, I haven't given you much evidence, but I mean, you think about this. The evidence will grow. God wants to meet daily. God wants to fellowship. We'll talk just a little bit more about that. Now, I think to me, one of the best examples, flip to Exodus, and I mean, this is what God wants. Now, why do, well, we'll get there. We'll get there. 33, let's go to 33. 33:8. It's an awesome verse. Okay, God says, build a tabernacle. I want to meet with you. The purpose of this beautiful building is to get together and meet with me. And I'd suggest that's the purpose of our coming together, even to church. But that's a challenge, is to get God so we meet God in prayer and reading of the word. 33:8. And it came to pass when Moses went out of the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And listen to this. And the Lord talked with Moses. Isn't that a great thought? And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped, every man in his tent door. I mean, they sensed the presence of God. They felt the presence of God. God was there, and it leads to worship. And look at verse 11. 11 is just an outstanding verse. And the Lord spake. And I want to hear the voice of the Lord. I'd say, come on, Moses. You know, this is just not for you. This is for me. It's for all of us. And the Lord spake. Put your name in there. I mean, it can happen. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face That's just a beautiful concept. As a man speaketh unto his friend. Just as Edie and I sit down here and we talk to each other. And we fellowship with each other. Now, you know, I could pick somebody else's name. I could pick Zach. You know, I don't sit too often with Zach, but it would be nice. What do you want to drink? Zach, we'll get him a drink. You don't have to answer me, but we'll get Zach a drink. I mean, it is nice to fellowship, isn't it? And come and sit face to face. That's what God desires. It happened to Moses speaking like to a friend. You know, sometimes we don't get to sit with each one of you. But, I mean, there's value in that. There's a good in that. Just to sit face to face, as Moses sat face to face with the Lord. What happens after you sit face to face with the Lord? What happens when you take time and you sit face to face with the Lord? Let's go to 34, chapter 34, Exodus. I'm telling you, Exodus is really fascinating. And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables, which thou breakest, and be ready in the morning. Isn't that interesting? What does God tell Moses? Get out of bed. Meet me in the morning. I mean, it's just interesting to me. It's convicting to me. I have no trouble getting up in the morning. I love getting up in the morning. My trouble is getting to bed. I don't have any trouble getting up in the morning. I have trouble getting to bed. Then that leads to trouble getting up in the morning. Get up in the morning, God says. Come on, get up and meet me in the morning in the Mount Sinai. And present thyself there to me at the top of the mountain. And no man shall come up with thee. Neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount. Neither let the flocks nor the herds feed before that mount. And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up into Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him. And took in his hand the two tables of stone. Now we're getting to the important part. And the Lord descended in the cloud, and stood with him there, and proclaimed his name, proclaimed who he was about, what he was about, the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands of generations, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children's children, unto the third and the fourth generation. What was Moses' response? After Moses saw God, met with God, fellowshiped with God, sat at the table with God, Moses made haste, verse 8, Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. Isn't that a neat passage? I mean, that is sort of the form of worship. I don't know. How would you define worship? I would define worship as meeting with God. Okay, let's come together and worship. What's our worship service going to be like? We're going to meet with God. It's time to meet with God. It's time to sing to God. It's time to pray to God. Meeting with God, just as we see here. And you know, I love David's heart. Man, I wish we had time. How many psalms can you... Let's go just a couple, quickly. Psalm 27. Now, what was David's heart in all this? I love David's heart. David's heart was the same as Moses' heart. Man, he just couldn't wait. And we'll just pick a few verses just because it shows his heart more clearly, I think. Verse 4, 27:4. David says, One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that one thing will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. Moses says, one thing I want to do. I want to sit at that table. I want to sit with God at that table. I want to meet with God at that table all the days of my life. Because that is more, that is so rich. And David, that really was on David's heart. Let's go to Psalm. Wow, we're going to skip some. Psalm 63. I mean, there are so many. Psalm 63 is an awesome psalm. It's going to make you thirsty too. Maybe spiritually. Maybe physically. I'm getting thirsty too. Psalm 63. It's a wonderful, wonderful psalm. Oh God, David cries out. And you know, David, this was developed in David's lifetime. Over David's lifetime. Out in the wilderness, David would cry out to God. This was written in the wilderness. Oh God, in the dry wilderness, thou art my God. What was he thinking about? God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in the dry and thirsty land where no water is. I was thinking about this psalm the other night, and I said, you know, God, my soul thirsts for you, but my flesh doesn't. I am so tired. I was worn out. Those silly grandkids are in me ragged. Oh, man. It's all good. No, listen. My soul was longing for God. My flesh was too tired. Now, part of that's my fault, because I can say, hey, enough's enough. You know, we have to manage our time a little bit, don't we? Yeah, to seek God. But David says, I long for God. Not only do I long for him in my heart, I'm going to act it out. My flesh is going to long for God, and we're going to meet with God. And what do you want to do? Look at verse 2. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I've seen thee in thy sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life. I mean, you can go on. Well, let me read on just a little bit longer. You should memorize Psalm 63. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed. And meditate on thee in the night watches. You know, when the night watches come and I wake up in the middle of the night, I'm going to think about you. And I'm satisfied. God, you're better than life. It's an awesome psalm. One more. Psalm 139. Familiar psalm. And you know it. And I've talked about this, I think, 38 times now. This makes 39. I'm just guessing. Some of you might know. No, you wouldn't. Probably not. Okay, Psalm 139. Wow. No, we're going to do one more. Psalm 139, we're going to do one more. Just, yes, we got to do one more. Okay, verse 14. 139:14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. I mean, David was in awe that he was fearfully and wonderfully made. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret. Isn't that neat for the pregnant ladies? My substance, that's not hid from God when he's forming and weaving in the mother's womb and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, meaning in the mother's womb. The eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, all in thy book are all my members were written, which is a continuous thereover fashion, yet there were none of them, didn't happen yet. And then verse 17, key verse, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. If I could count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I'm awake, you're still thinking of me. I mean, God is thinking of us, but he wants to talk to us. He wants to fellowship with us. Psalm 145, we'll be done with the Psalms. Psalm of David, a psalm of praise, a psalm of worship. And I can't read the whole thing, but the whole thing is so awesome. I will, verse 1, I will exalt thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever. Why? Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. And it goes on. One generation shall praise thy works to another, so declare thy mighty acts. I love going out, and Kaylee was so interested in this. I said, Kaylee, there's a little oak tree. And there's a little oak tree growing in the mulch path, and it was about this tall. I said, you know what's going to be down at the bottom of that root? She goes, no. I said, let's go look. So we went, and we dug that little thing out, and I says, those dumb squirrels that live around here, they're so dumb they don't know where they hide their food. So we digging up those dumb squirrels. They only find, like, if they bury 10, they only find half of them, which is really a good thing. God gave them God could have given an elephant memory, you know. You know where every acorn is. And I mean, and we dug it up and there was an acorn. I just showed it to her. I didn't know how she'd respond. I just watched her. She said, I'm going to run and show my dad. I thought, good. You know, she was excited about it. I mean, I was excited about it. This little acorn that's a squirrel probably planted, and it was a little oak tree, and I just, it's so awesome. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. There's so many things. I mean, you can worship God by pulling up a little oak tree. You can worship God by capturing tadpoles. I mean, there's so many awesome things you can do. I mean, you see God's creation, you just worship. You walk out of here and you're going to worship. You see those red roses right out in front here? You can see them in your mind. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Okay. We see the intent that God had in the Old Testament was to meet together in Exodus. God wanted to meet together. We saw it in the life of Moses. We see it in the life of David. And then we're going to see it in our lives. Let's go, last thing, Revelation 3. Let's go to Revelation 3. And we got to get out of here. Revelation 3. And I prayed it. I prayed it. And I pray it often. 322. No, 3. Let's go to 314. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write. This is to the church. And the angel could be the elder. Could write it to the elder or to the leader, the church leader. But this goes to the church of the Laodiceans. This is written to the church, a message to the church. These things saith the Amen and the faithful, and so on. The beginning of the creation of God. And it talks. Let's go to 20. Written to the church. And Jesus is saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. That's so important. That's what God desires. Okay, let me read one thing in closing. There's probably about 200 of these booklets around here somewhere. I ordered 800 of them to take to the women's prison. They didn't come till after the women's prison. So we got 800 of them. So I sent a bunch of them to the women's the prison over outreach. And there's still a bunch of them sitting around here. They're awesome books. Listen to this. And I will close with this. Think about this. This is where I got the idea of having tea with Edie. In a sense. Plus this verse. This is my heart, Christ's home. One of the rooms in the home is the living room. Listen. We moved next into the living room. This was a quiet, comfortable room with a warm atmosphere, and I liked it. It had a fireplace, a sofa, overstuffed chairs, a bookcase, and an intimate atmosphere. He seemed so pleased with it, Jesus. He said, oh, indeed, this is a delightful room. Let's come here often. It's secluded and quiet, and we can have good talks, and we can fellowship together. Well, naturally, as a young Christian, I was thrilled. I couldn't think of anything I'd rather do than have a few minutes alone with Christ in close companionship. He promised, I'll be there every morning early. Meet me there, and we will start the day together. So morning after morning, I would go downstairs to the living room. He would take a book of the Bible from the bookcase, open it up, and we'd read it together. He would unfold to me the wonder of God's saving truth recorded in its pages and make my heart sing as he shared all he had done for me and would be to me. Those times together were wonderful. Through the Bible and his Holy Spirit, he would talk to me. In prayer, I would respond. So our friendship deepened in those quiet times of personal conversation. However, under the pressures of ministry responsibility, little by little, this time began to be shortened. Why? I'm not sure. Somehow I assumed I was just too busy to give special regular time with Christ. This was not a deliberate decision, you understand. It just seemed to happen that way. Eventually, not only was the period shortened, but I began to miss days now and then. during times such as midterms and finals. Matters of urgency demanded my attention and were continually crowding out the quiet times in the conversations with Jesus. Often I would miss it 2 days in a row or more. One morning I recalled rushing down the steps in a hurry to be on my way to an important appointment. As I passed by the living room, the door was open. Glancing in, I saw a fire in the fireplace and Jesus sitting there. Suddenly, to my dismay, it came to me. He's my guest. I invited him into my heart. He has come in as my Savior and friend to live with me. Yet here I am neglecting him. I stopped and turned and hesitatingly went in. With a downcast glance, I said, "Master, I am sorry. Have you been here every morning?" "Yes," he said. "I told you I'd meet you here." I was even more ashamed. He had been faithful despite my faithlessness. I asked him to forgive me, and he did. And as he always does when we acknowledge our failures and want to do the right thing, he said, "The trouble is that you have been thinking of it as a quiet time, a Bible study, a prayer, as a means of your own spiritual growth. This is true, but you've forgotten that the time really means something to me also. Remember, I love you. At a great cost, I have redeemed you. I value your friendship. Just to have you look me in the face warms my heart. Don't neglect this hour. If it is only for my sake, whether or not you want to be with me, remember, I want to be with you. I really love you." You know, the truth of what Christ taught, the truth that Christ wants my fellowship and that he loves me and wants me to be with him and he waits for me has done more to transform my quiet time with God than any other single fact. Don't let Christ wait alone in the living room of your heart. But every day, find time and find a place when, with the Word of God in prayer, you may be together with Him.
Let's sing together hymn number 64 and the Hymns of Zion, The Christian Home. So that little book, it's titled, My Heart, Christ Home. And when Christ is in our heart, there is love. And on a Mother's Day, I would think, I don't know what your background is or was. If you can't look back and see love at home, we have the opportunity with Christ in our heart and our life to build a future of love in our home where we're at today and tomorrow. So let's sing that hymn. close up the day of prayer.
Dear Father, again, what a blessed day this has been, dear Father. We remember our families, Lord. We remember our mothers and even our fathers. And Lord, that's how you made us, and that's how you made your plan. And so we are very eternally thankful, Lord, for what you have done for us. And for those without a family, it is our hope, Lord, that we can help lift people up, dear Father, the people that are in need. And Lord, we thank you for your plan of salvation, Lord. We live in a world, dear Father, that needs some positive inputs. We look around today and we wonder what is going on in our world, in our country. But dear Father, we then look to you. We look to the Bible. We look to the plan. We look to the ability to revive ourselves, to regenerate ourselves through repentance, Lord. And how thankful we are, dear Father. And it is always, I think, our desire, Lord, to help other people as well. To dwell on the positive things that thou hast given to us. And so just help us in this day, Father. Be with those who are without. Be with those who are, Lord, in need of thy help, dear Father. We just think of those in this world today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.